I want to welcome you to today's program, the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry program, July the 7th, 2026, Tuesday. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. My website is thispresenttruth.com. These programs are all archived by date on the ministry site. Also on the ministry site, a second section, This Present Truth Programs. And then also these programs, the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry Programs. As I begin the programs, I feel to immediately let you know where you can go to listen to the programs and the website. Also, you can write me, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Longmont, Colorado, 80502. I am going to, this is part two of this one. The previous program was The End of Birth Pains, Matthew chapter 24. Verse 8, and this program is Matthew 24, verse 8, before the tribulation. In America, let me set this up. There is I'm not going to get into the matter of rapture, but I'm briefly going to just present a thought. There are many different views on the rapture. I don't use the term rapture. I use the term resurrection. For the Christian people that are listening to the program, rapture means catching up, pulling out, kind of like an evacuation. But Christ refers to a resurrection, two resurrections, a resurrection of all of the born again family from the time of the resurrection, the night of the resurrection, to a period of time in the near future where no one will ever receive the Holy Spirit in their human spirit ever again. The end of the experience where Christ himself as God dwells in a person. These people will be raised from the dead. It is called a resurrection. That resurrection is to a judgment seat, which is referred to as the judgment seat of Christ. This is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. I'll read it to you. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So we will all be caught up. It is the resurrection. It is referred to as the first resurrection. The final resurrection or second resurrection is at the end of the millennial kingdom at the great white throne judgment. That is not judged, you might say, in the first resurrection will be judged at the final resurrection. This can be confusing. I guess I better take a second to explain. The Old Testament faithful and the New Testament faithful will be caught up and be judged at the first resurrection. Daniel, in chapter 12 of the book of Daniel, was told to go his way. He would sleep and he would be raised at the end time. That would be the judgment seat of Christ for Old Testament believers. Then all of the born-again believers, we will be with the Old Testament believers, we will be judged by Christ for reward. We will be with Christ forever, with God, in God's hand eternally. But the judgment seat is a gathering so that we receive our new bodies, and then also we receive rewards for the coming millennial kingdom. And with the church, the Christian people, born-again people, we will be rewarded for what we have done during our Christian period, during our lifetime as a Christian, as a believer. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 through 13 is talking about our labor as believers. Verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So all of our work has to be in Christ. Verse 12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones," meaning divine, basically with the in our experience with the divine nature, of which is gold, redemptive nature through the our labor, which is silver, precious stones, meaning through what we do during the period of time where we're being transformed. So gold, silver, precious stones. "But if we build with wood, hay, and stubble," wood, hay, and stubble refer to anything that we do in the soul, in the flesh, or in anything other than through the redemptive work of Christ. This is a whole program in itself, but my point is that at the judgment seat, when we are before Christ, after at the time of the first resurrection, we will be inspected. And whatever we have done during our Christian lifetime that was with the work of the Holy Spirit, that work, all that we have done, will pass through fire. Verse 13, "Every man's work will be made manifest for that day, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." If it was gold, silver, precious stone, working through the power of the Spirit, it will remain. What we have done will remain. If it's wood, hay, stubble, in the flesh, in the soul, in our natural self, it will not pass the fire. And that will be, you might say, taken out of our account. It is worthless. And then with what we have done, we will be given position in the millennial kingdom in our new bodies. We will have new bodies, and we will be given authority, like the angels, to rule over the world during the millennial kingdom from our new spiritual nature, totally spiritual. We won't be affected by time or space or gravity. But I don't want to deviate from what I'm presenting. In Matthew 24, from verse 4 to the end of the chapter, these verses are talking about the steps that will occur all the way to the end of the chapter. And these steps, you might say, what Christ is referring to, the end of the age, the end of the world, the time prior to his second return, everything is condensed from verse 4 to verse 20, well, actually, verse 31, just prior to the parable of the fig tree. So, verse 4 to 31 gives a timeline all the way prior to the tribulation, to the first day of the tribulation, which would begin in verse 9, and then to the middle of the tribulation, which would be verse 15, when the abomination of desolation is revealed to the world. Then you have that period of 3.5 years to the time of the judgments of wrath. Then in verse 29, we have the period that begins after the 7-year tribulation is finished, is concluded. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So this is the beginning of the period of wrath. It begins a 75-day period of time. And that 75-day period of time is initially broken, is parted into two sections, a 30-day period and then a final 45-day period. And in that 75 days, in the first 30 days, you will have the resurrection occur. Now, I will say this, that in Revelation chapter 11, there's a talk of two witnesses, and the two witnesses begin their ministry at the beginning of the tribulation, on the first day of the first half of the tribulation. Then it says that they are going to be killed. Well, the killing, there's going to be persecution, but they will be actually targets of the Antichrist in the second half of the tribulation. And all through that second half of the tribulation, they will be martyred. They will be basically non-existent. This is the churches, the Jewish and Gentile believers in the body of Christ in America. It will be worldwide, but more specifically in the United States. And it will appear as if in the second half of the tribulation, there are no longer any Christians existing in the United States. After the second half of the after the Great Tribulation, or the second half, which is the Great Tribulation, when it is finished, when it is over, the final day has come. These Christians that have made it through the tribulation worldwide and in America will once again appear. The Christian people will come out boldly, declare that they have had the victory over the beast, and then there will be the catching up, the resurrection. After that resurrection, then begins a judgment on the harlot in Revelation 17 and Babylon in Revelation 18, the judgment of America. And within that 30 days, by the end of that 30-day period, I believe that the United States will have been judged. And then you begin the final 45-day period. In the final 45-day period, then all the other scriptures that talk about the armies gathering in the Middle East, and great conflicts worldwide. The movement of the armies of the East, the armies in the Far East moving toward Jerusalem, all of the Antichrist forces will be in Israel and will begin the gathering for the great attack on the Jewish people one final time. And then that will conclude. Then Christ will bring the sheep and the goats. I'm going to have to write this down because I'm going to have to do everything I'm explaining to you. I'm going to have to, it is a separate, complete dish or meal in itself. The sheep and the goats. The final thing that Christ will do is gather the sheep and the goats to his presence. Reward the sheep, judge the goats, those that have never assisted. They're so selfish, they will not assist anyone with their wealth, with what they have. They will be punished eternally. This is just, I'm condensing everything to explain Matthew 24 is a complete concept, thought, presentation by Christ himself about really the time before the tribulation, from the time Israel becomes a nation, to the judgment of the sheep and the goats, and then Christ setting himself up to be the king and to take the earth back as his possession, which is rightfully his. He's the one who inherits mankind and the creation in the millennial kingdom, and he is recognized as Messiah of Israel and is recognized as truly God himself. So that's, I'm condensing that. And I will continue breaking Matthew chapter 24 apart, because in that chapter, in programs to come, the United States of America is in Matthew 24. The two witnesses in Revelation 11 are in Matthew 24. The apostate church is in Matthew 24. The occult world and those in the occult world that will basically state that they are Christ. The world will be full of people that have great power presenting themselves as Christ himself, doing miracles. They will do miracles. Revelation chapter 13 especially is in the book of Matthew 24, starting with verse, I think it's 15, where then there will be, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, verse 15, stand in the holy place, whosoever reads, let him understand. That is the beginning of Revelation chapter 13, when the Antichrist and the false prophet begin their great 3.5-year ministry. So Matthew 24 is loaded. It is like a fruit tree that is just ready to explode with fruit, because it has been in such a perfect growing season. the prophecies, all of the prophecies, basically by the prophets of Israel, many, are really condensed in Matthew 24. The conflict right now, which we refer to as the Gaza War, is in Matthew 24. It is in verse 7 and 8. Wars, rumors of wars. Psalm 83 is the Gaza conflict. It's a regional war. Before the tribulation begins, there will be the finish, the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war will also be the prophecy concerning the armies out of Russia and Turkey and Iran, other nations to the north. I apologize for that. We just lost power. We have rolling blackouts, and we just lost power. So I apologize for that. Now, with Ezekiel, the 38 and 39 war, this war will conclude before the tribulation begins. This is, again, July the 7th, 2026. If I'm correct with what is happening presently, not just an opinion, but with Iran, Iran is going to be forced to send out an SOS to the other nations to the north and to Islamic armies in North Africa, because Iran cannot continue the conflict with the United States of America and Israel alone. Iran will not succeed without outside assistance. This war concludes before the tribulation begins. And so with Matthew 24, in the time of birth pains and sorrows, starting from verse 4 to verse 8, there is great history going back to before Israel becomes a nation in 1948. In Matthew 24, the coming beast comes out of a kingdom that the pastors of the United States of America refuse to accept or consider the fact that this country is in the Bible. We are in the Bible. We are a great, great whale swimming in a fishbowl. We are so huge as a nation, as a power, as an economic power, as a high-tech, unbelievable technology that not even revealed to the world yet, that the pastors of the United States of America and many of the prophets of this country will not recognize the fact. They won't accept the fact that we as a great nation are in the Bible. The Matthew 24 cannot be fulfilled. The prophecies cannot be fulfilled. The matter of a tribulation cannot be fulfilled until the countries that the coming beast is coming from is identified. This is a real hardship to the American Christians. And in the last program, I began to speak about the seven churches. The solution to all of the world's problems are in the seven churches. I am trying to take, present in block fashion, one block, one thought, one concept, one idea, and then lay them on the table, and then hopefully be able to have a way in which to bring everything together like a salad. You have everything that you need for a nice garden salad. You have the lettuce, you have the onions, you have the tomatoes, you have everything put together so that you can enjoy the whole salad. This is prophecy. America is in the Bible. The seven churches, there is one place where they will consolidate. It is in this end time nation that will be the seat of the coming beast. I know that my programs, I can't take the, I do not have the thought pattern of many of the pastors throughout the land, many in the, even in the prophetic and in the end time Bible teachers, I don't take their view. I deviate. The reason is because I have been involved in prophecy from the time that I basically met the Lord and began in my interest in Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth. And I don't know, it's just the way that the Lord catches us, you might say, how he reveals himself to us. And I, from the time I became a believer in the early 70s, I knew we had to be in the time prior to Christ's second coming, though I didn't know much about the Bible. I didn't know much about eschatology, anything pertaining to the Bible. But I present what I need to present, what I feel is important to the overcomer members in all seven lampstands. All these lampstands, there are overcomers in each. And to understand the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven, you can, it gives you a clear way to see the wisdom of God in the world without seeing and understanding what evil is. You don't understand what, we can't understand what righteousness is. This is what is presented in Matthew 24. The hatred of mankind toward the Jewish people, the hatred of mankind toward the Christian people, the true Christian people, not just the unbelievers toward the Jews and to the Christians, but even the Jewish people, the hatred that the Jewish people have for the Jewish people, and the conflict and the lack of love that the Christian people will have for the overcomer children who have a completely different overcomers, there's one thing that is important to them: Christ, the things of God, the things of the kingdom of heaven. There's no compromise. This becomes it becomes challenging to those in the body of believers that are compromised, because there is a clear distinction between those that are truly given to the things of God, others who are given to some degree, they are committed to the things of the Lord, but the world still has a great, you might say, attraction or magnetic hold on them. They can't separate from the world. And because of that, they can't separate from the flesh. They can't separate themselves from what's important in the soul. It says that Laodicea, and in the book of Matthew 24, Laodicea, there is one of the seven lampstands, one of the sons. I call these brothers. The lampstand, the seventh lampstand, Laodicea. The base is the United States of America. The family member that is to oversee the spiritual condition of what happens in the United States, like I stated in the last program, many in the main denominations will find this offensive. Well, I can't help that. I know what the scripture says. The seventh lampstand, the church in Laodicea, its foundation, its home base, the field in which we are to oversee is the United States of America. The evangelical churches of the United States, it is our responsibility, has been, to oversee the spiritual condition of this country. This is, to be honest, I'm struggling to have the way in which to present this to not offend people, but to make things from a spiritual perspective clear. Spiritually, there are principles that cannot be violated in the scripture. We are not to worship anything other than the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in their unity. They alone are to be worshipped. They alone are to be the center of all that we do. Spiritual matters that are extremely, that are laid out, that are not understood, but once understood, have a great significance in how we evangelicals, as an evangelical, I speak to evangelicals. When we see what has been given to us to oversee, we are no longer lenient to matters that maybe we didn't understand. America is the land of the Church of Laodicea, primarily. It is the land that the Laodicean Church was given responsibility over. It is our responsibility in Laodicea, as Laodiceans, I don't know how, but I can explain now how this is going to work out. I don't know what I'm going to present. I don't know how this will work out. I don't know how to make this practical in this country. The evangelical churches have been given the vision and has been given the giftings to oversee a nation. And in the nation, you have the other six family members. And each family member brings its own conduct, its own method, its own way. And these ways interfere with the work of the evangelical believers in America. As a Catholic, I knew Christ at a distance. I knew God was real. I knew He existed. But I didn't have the deep reality of who He was. I didn't have the reality of what it meant to have an experience with Christ within. I didn't have an experience of being led by the Holy Spirit because I was used to being going to Mass and basically receiving the blessing of the priest. I didn't have a direct relationship with Christ. So Catholicism has in its personality, in its structure, has teachings that conflict with the teachings of evangelical Christianity. It is the same with the Lutheran churches, Presbyterian churches, Episcopalian churches, Greek churches, with all the other ways and teachings of all of the six brothers that had positions in Europe and Eastern Europe, Southeast Europe. And these teachings, these ways, their structure coming to the United States has basically, not basically, it has influenced evangelical Christianity, meaning those who have a deep experience of the Holy Spirit. This is evangelical Christianity, what I'm going to explain. Evangelical Christianity is number one. The Bible is of the most importance. It is the way in which God instructs His children on all matters. On matters of, I guess the best example, Moses. All of his teachings are an instruction. These instructions are to be our experiences in family life, community life, life within a government, the laws of a government, with evangelical Christianity. I am really trying to explain Saturn in an hour. It's impossible. This is why it's going to take many programs to present these concepts to you. Evangelical Christians, our view of the world through the Bible, through Paul's teachings, the teachings of Christ, the teachings of the apostles, the teachings of the law of Moses, and the prophets. We are a, you might say, we are a complete assembly, but we have different segments that have different thoughts, different views. Pentecostalism, within Pentecostalism, there are 100,000 different teachings on one thing. You must be baptized in the Jordan River. Baptism that's not in the Jordan River is not true baptism. Things like this, which are basically outwardly. The Pentecostal churches have been infiltrated by white supremacists. I guess I could phrase it this way. Pentecostalism has a background that actually, you might say, is kind of rooted to some degree in the Nazi Aryan thought. This may be shocking to you, but there is some very dark background to some of the much of the Pentecostal movement. And it is the members in the evangelical churches, the other, let's say, brothers within the evangelical churches, the ministries. It is our responsibility to expose what is not, healthy for the lampstand, the whole lampstand. Within Pentecostal churches, there's conduct that is basically verges on madness. Some of the ways within Pentecostal churches and who they ordain, who they proclaim and ordain to be apostles, individuals that have background in the occult that they've never been freed from. The evangelical churches, the Pentecostal, and some of I can see it. I can't explain it. It takes too long. I understand it. The madness on Sunday services with all of the pageantry. This is not true Christianity. This is not reverence to God. This is reverence to man. This is everything for show. There's no reality in it. And now many of these major works in the United States are now, God is shaking, like in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. There was a time when God shook the earth, and everyone knew that God was in the shaking. But Paul said that there would come a time when God would no longer shake the earth only, but would shake the heavens also. Meaning that, yes, there will things will be happening that you will visibly see. I'm going to give you an example. The International House of Prayer Ministry, it has been shaken at the ground level because of the corruption by some of the men in that ministry. The shaking is visible. You can see literally what the evil was in the years that these men ruled this, they were overseeing this work. Wow, this is getting deep. So you see the earth, what happened in the natural realm. You could see the shaking. It's still shaking. Not just the IHOP, but other ministries throughout the country. But looking from a spiritual perspective, Paul said that God would, in our day, it began 2,000 years ago, the shaking. In our day, we would see not just the shaking that is visible, but the shaking that would happen in the invisible world. God is shaking spiritually everything that was not seen in that ministry, in that work, and in other works throughout the country. The works that are now, the fire is being put to these works by God, to the men like John Wimber. Wimber came, he was effective, influential, but he dies, and with him, his work has been shaken. And we're going to see more of the shaking. Now, going back to the principle, no one has ever explained what I'm explaining to you. No one has explained this to me. By studying the Word and by knowing the history of the land, not just politically, in the natural realm, in the civil government, but understanding the principles in the body of Christ. These principles are more important. The United States, I'm going to beat this horse till it wins the race. The evangelical assemblies have to clean house. And how is the house cleaning going to take place? By the hand of God, by the sovereign hand of God. Because man, the men in the evangelical churches that see the problems, the men that are sound, the ministries that are sound, the ministries that have the scripture behind them, that have the foundation and the experience of the ways of God, these men will always be under attack. And you will have in the ministries in general that are basically under the spotlight, the immature believers not understanding the deep process that is occurring will rebel and will stand against any criticism. Any criticism of the fellowship that they're in. I'll give you a bad example. As a Catholic, I had problems with the Catholic Church before I met Christ. I saw the hypocrisy. You go to confession on Saturday night, but you're at the bar, and I remember the man in the congregation going to the Knights of Columbus, having the beers, or going to the other bars, and I could see the hypocrisy. And these men were the men that I thought were the great families of the Catholic Church where I grew up, but I could see the hypocrisy. But if I'm at the bar, which I was one night, and I'm playing pool, having a few beers, and one guy the guy that I was playing pool against, he started criticizing the Catholic Church, and immediately I began I didn't attack him physically, but I was pretty hot. And I told him, it is the church. There's only one church. It is the Catholic Church. And man, you know, you better be careful. You better be careful because this will end up bad for you. And I walk away and I think, wait a minute. I'm a hypocrite. On one hand, I am a Catholic. I can see the hypocrisy in the Catholic Church. And I'm defending the Catholic Church. I'm in conflict. I realize that I can't, I don't know which way to go. But then when I met the Lord, then things became more clear. I was Catholic in name only, but in experience, I knew God was real. I knew He existed, but I didn't know Christ, and I didn't have His, all that He offers a believer, salvation, forgiveness of sins, hope of the eternity. I didn't have that until I met Christ. So those that in the time coming, there's going to be a great war within evangelical Christianity because there will be many who are faithful in the evangelical church that are the overcomers that will address and continue to address even more clearly the matter of the problems within Pentecostalism, charismatic, even fundamental churches within the Baptist churches, the big, the churches that basically are very biblically grounded. There's going to be conflict. There will also be conflict from evangelicals toward the other six brothers that have taken up residence in the United States. As I stated in the last program, we, Laodicea, could not, as a church, as a lampstand, Laodicea had no say, could not exist, could not function, would be without any fruit in Europe. This is why God set America aside specifically for evangelical Christianity. Laodicea is the landmass for Laodicea is the United States of America. The evangelical church is Laodicea with all of its problems. This landmass is given to Laodicea to oversee. We are the family member that is to oversee this great nation. The other brothers have come and they have taken up residence, but they are not the spiritual authority in America. The Catholic Church wants to be the spiritual head of the United States of America. Lutheranism, Greek churches, all of the other brothers, they want to be the preeminent authority spiritually in the United States. They violate spiritual principles. Laodicea is the brother who oversees this continent. This concept and this principle that I'm giving the evangelical Christians, we have house cleaning within to take care of. There is going to be a house cleaning in evangelical Christianity in the United States of America because we have a responsibility that only we have the ability to, we've been given the responsibility to oversee what happens in this country, to watch what happens with the Catholics, the Lutherans, with all the other family members. They are not to be dominant. And what has happened in evangelical Christianity to some degree, they have become dominant. And they were not gifted to be able, they're not gifted to fight the battle, the great conflict that is coming to this country. They are not gifted. The giftings of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the other administrative abilities that are talked about in Romans, the evangelical church, we have been given the authority and the responsibility to oversee everything in this country and to help the other assemblies to know they won't have answers that evangelical Christianity will have. They won't have the answers that they need because they're used to programs. They have structure that is not going to be not successful. Structure that is bad example, like taking a knife to a gunfight. They're not gifted spiritually. We are. The Pentecostal churches, one thing to their advantage is they understand the spiritual realm. They know the kingdom of darkness. With their eschatology, is definitely off. Most is off. But they do know authority. With the fundamental churches, they are sound doctrinally. The fellowship that I, where the Lord took me to be churched, we were foundationally solid in all ways. One thing was not allowed was speaking in tongues, the giftings, any type of miracles, any of that. We were not allowed. Basically, that was forbidden. Not forbidden, but it wasn't encouraged. So we were strong with one arm, weak with another. Pentecostalism, strong with one arm, weak with another. There's going to be a balance between the giftings in the evangelical churches, which are vital for warfare in the coming time. I'm going to continue with this thought in the next program. It is too deep. It is very hard to understand. I see the conflict that is coming. When God has ordained an assembly to oversee a country, He never, ever relieves that responsibility from that. Laodicea has been given a responsibility to oversee everything that happens in this country spiritually. We have to oversee all the other spiritual family members that have come in to try to meddle. And then we have to, within the Church of Laodicea, there's lukewarm. You know, we are lukewarm. We aren't hot. We aren't cold. We have to address that matter of what we are in our relationship to Christ. We can't be cold. We can't be hot. We have to be hot. We don't want to be lukewarm. So I'm going to conclude for right now. I'm presenting to you something that you've got to think about. The seven churches in Revelation chapter 1. These are the most important things. I'm running out of time. The seven churches are vital for the time in which we live in. They have to be in step with each other. Podcasts are on thispresenttruth.com. thispresenttruth.com to the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry site. Then Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado 80502. Lord Jesus, I pray you help your family members. I pray you help your members, Lord, in the overcoming, these overcomers, Lord, to understand what is coming.